Hey there, it's Kona Gallagher, host of And Then They Were Gone and Day by Day True Crime Stories, and I'm here to bring you an amazing opportunity to win some incredible prizes, all for a good cause. Join the Texas Advocacy Project's The Big Game Football Squares Raffle on February 9th, 2025, and help support survivors of power-based abuse. For every $100 donation, you secure a square and a chance to win amazing prizes. You can choose from two exciting grids. The Hawaiian Paradise Grid offers a grand prize of a seven-night stay for two at a luxury resort in Oahu or the Big Island. Or play the Beachfront Mexico Grid for a chance to win a four-night, all-inclusive stay for two at a five-star Marival Luxury Resort in Banderas Bay or Nuevo Nayarit, Mexico. Your contributions help survivors understand their rights, navigate the justice system, and secure emergency protective orders. To participate, visit TexasAdvocacyProject.org and select your grid today. Don't miss out. Tune in to the Texas Advocacy Project's Facebook page on February 9th, 2025, during the game for live updates on winners. Prizes are awarded at the end of each quarter, with the grand prize at the game's conclusion. So score big for a cause. Visit TexasAdvocacyProject.org to learn more. Brittany and Tyler Davis were the busy parents of a one-year-old who are looking for a night out together, and Brittany's birthday seemed like the perfect excuse. They got the grandparents to watch their son, Aaron, and they booked a hotel room in nearby Columbus, Ohio. The couple met up with a friend, had drinks, and just generally let loose. But as they returned to their hotel early in the morning of February 24th, 2019, everything started to go wrong. Tyler walked away from the hotel, and despite phone calls assuring Brittany that he was coming back, Tyler Davis was never seen again. Was Tyler the victim of an accident, or was it foul play? Nearly 5 years after he was last seen, there is still no trace of the young father. What happened to Tyler Davis? When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell you the stories of those who never came home. Today, I want to tell you the story of Tyler Davis. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you for joining us once again. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And we're the husband and wife team behind this podcast. Each week, I tell you the story of an unsolved missing persons case. Ethan doesn't know anything about the story going into the episode, and he's here to provide his reactions and questions in real time, hopefully asking some of the same ones that you have at home.
Hopefully.
What really struck me about this case that we're talking about this week is how relatable the situation is. As a married couple, we've been in similar situations to the Davises many times. Instead of Columbus, we go out to DC when we have a night away from the kids.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like that's pretty standard for married couples to like pawn their kids off on their parents or somebody or anybody and just go to a hotel just to get away.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't even need to do much.
No. Yeah, so we usually go out. We generally drink too much.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, thankfully, nothing like this has ever happened.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really curious to get into this because, I mean, you know, your intro said that he just walked away from the hotel, and I want to know all the details.
Yeah. But what makes this case particularly scary to me is that there's nothing in it that one would think would lead to him remaining missing. There just aren't a lot of extenuating circumstances where you're like, oh yeah, no, I can see how this one hasn't been solved. So it's just mind-boggling that he hasn't been found yet.
Are we thinking another hoagie? Are we thinking he just walked away from his life?
Well, that question, of course, has been asked. So we're definitely going to get into it.
Okay.
Tyler James Davis was born on June 30th, 1989. I don't have a lot of information about his background, but from what it sounds like, he was born and raised in Ohio. In 2013, Tyler was in his early 20s and working at a fast food restaurant. It was there that he struck up a friendship with one of his coworkers, a girl named Brittany, who would have been about 16 at the time.
I'm sorry, how old did you say he was? In his 20s?
Yeah, early 20s.
All right, I mean, give it a couple of years until it's legal, and then it's okay.
Okay,
right?
That sounded extremely creepy the way you said that, though.
Well, I mean, what I mean is, like, you know, they're not actually that far apart, so as they progress in age, it's less creepy.
Right, and supposedly, Brittany and Tyler did remain just friends until 2017, so 4 years later.
Oh, see, there you go.
When they started dating. Now, learning that they met when Brittany was still a teenager did throw up some red flags for me, but it sounds like Tyler was genuinely the type of guy who was just friends with most, if not all, of his coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
He eventually worked his way up to management, which I believe is what he was doing in 2019 when all of this is taking place. After his disappearance, someone with the username Missy2201 was one of the very first people to post on the Web Sleuths forum about Tyler. This person said in part, quote, "He has been my manager, Burrow Wendy's, for over a year now, and he's very close with us all. More like a father figure than a manager, and he'd give us money, food, the clothes off his back. He hangs out with coworkers outside of work to play games almost weekly. His son is his life. He gets put in the doghouse with his wife from time to time, but it's obvious he loves her too. He's the kind of person you can tell anything to and get great advice," end quote. And again, like, I don't know how old this person is or whatever. And Web Sleuths admins do verify insiders in cases.
Okay.
And it does seem as though this person began to go through that process, but hasn't been officially verified. So, you know, take this with a grain of salt, but I tend to believe that this person is who they say they are because it's not like they're saying anything controversial or crazy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, people on the internet do weird things, but like coming up and pretending to just work with some dude at Wendy's.
Just to talk nice about him.
Right,
too.
Right. Just like, to say he's like a nice guy.
Yeah. You're not even like coming on and talking shit on him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. That doesn't seem like what an internet troll would do.
Right. So I'm willing to believe that, like, you know, when he met Brittany, you know, when she was still in high school, that it probably was just fine. And it's not like they started dating, from what it sounds like, the second she turned 18 or anything like that. I mean, mm-hmm. It was like years later.
Right.
So Brittany and Tyler started dating in 2017, but things did progress quickly after that, and Brittany became pregnant. The pair got married and welcomed a son, Aaron, in 2017 as well. I think they got married in the winter because I feel like right before this all went down in February of 2019, they had recently celebrated their 1 year wedding anniversary. So I think that might have been like late 2018.
Okay.
The pair were self-proclaimed night owls and both worked late night jobs. It sounds like Tyler always worked nights and Brittany sometimes worked as a bartender. They had a busy life with a new baby, but they made sure to find time to get away on their anniversary and on each of their birthdays. On February 23rd, 2019, Tyler worked until 4 a.m. He got home and he and Brittany went to bed around 5. They slept until about 12:30 and then got up and met his parents at an Outback Steakhouse. The group had lunch and afterwards they left Aaron with the grandparents while they headed toward Easton, which is a section of Columbus. Brittany and Tyler didn't have solid plans. They had apparently just booked the hotel like the day before, which, again, relatable.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. But they did have a couples massage scheduled for the next day, which is like way more effort than we would ever put into anything.
Absolutely
so,
not.
Yeah. So they ended up arriving at the hotel around 5 and they checked into the Hilton Columbus at Easton, which was about an hour away from their Wilmington home. Though the purpose of this getaway was to get some alone time without their 1-year-old, they did also want to hang out with friends. Because it's tough, right? Because, you know, when you're new parents, it's like, yeah, you don't get time with each other, but you also don't get to hang out with your friends very often either.
No. And if you do, it's usually with the child or, you know, around you.
Yeah.
So it's not the same level of hanging out as going out to a bar with a friend.
Exactly. Both Brittany and Tyler had friends in Columbus, but like I said, they hadn't really made any solid plans before getting there. So the only one who was available that evening was Tyler's friend, Sean, who lived about 10 minutes away. Tyler and Sean were really close. They had been friends for, you know, almost a decade, I think, by this point. And Sean even helped design Brittany's engagement ring.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Sean met them at the hotel and the trio went out to dinner around 6:30 p.m. After dinner, they walked to Bar Louie and had drinks around 8:30. Again, relatable because
I feel like you're just name dropping all of the restaurants and bars that, I mean, not that we would go to Outback, but like you're just name dropping a bunch of restaurants. I'm like,
listen,
and bars.
We love a Hilton.
We do.
And we've spent a lot of time at the Bar Louie around us.
We have, regrettably.
Yeah. So they went to Bar Louie and had drinks. They got there around 8:30. Now, we have precise times for a lot of the activities that followed based on credit card and phone records.
You said you have precise times?
Yeah, okay. For a lot of these. So they had drinks at Bar Louie and they closed out their tab at 10:19. After that, they walked to another nearby bar, Adobe. They closed that tab at 11:30, but stayed a little longer to finish their drinks. After that, they got a rideshare back to their hotel. All right, so it's midnight. We've had some dinner. We've had some drinks. We've hung out. And if this were me, we would be telling Sean goodnight and going to sleep.
Yes. Well, we're also old as hell.
Exactly. Yes, we are no longer in our 20s. And also, Brittany and Tyler are night owls, so they were not ready to call it a night. The problem is they were in, you know, kind of a suburban area and a lot of the bars around there closed at midnight.
Bars close at midnight?
Yeah. I mean, a lot when it's a bar restaurant.
Well, I guess if it's a restaurant. Yeah.
There are a few places I think that stayed open until 2. Like, I mean, going back to Bar Louie, think about the Bar Louie by us, like that will stay open till like 1 or 2, but most of the other places around it close. But the whole like shopping center area where they were like wasn't really the vibe they were after at that point. Instead, Brittany tipsily suggested that they all go to the Dollhouse, which if you can guess by the name.
Oh, strip club?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So Brittany, remember, is like 23. She
wants to party it up.
Yeah. And she's never been to a strip club before. She's like kind of drunk. She doesn't have her kid with her. So she's like, let's go crazy, you know?
Uh-huh.
So they ended up taking a rideshare to the Dollhouse and arrived at 12:45 and stayed until they closed at 2:30. So it doesn't seem as though anything too eventful happened there until the end of the night. So the club's closing down and Brittany, like, you know, any normal person is like, I've got to pee before I leave.
Sure.
So she goes to the bathroom and Sean and Tyler were, you know, just waiting for her to get done. But the bouncers were trying to clear everyone out.
Okay.
Tyler obviously didn't want to leave without Brittany. And so it sounds like there's a bit of a verbal altercation between Tyler, Sean, and one of the bouncers. Because, like, bouncer's trying to get everybody out. They're like, no, we're waiting for somebody. And the bouncer's like, okay, yeah, I've heard that one before. Like, because basically, at the end of the night, you know, a lot of creeps will try to hang around and, like, harass the dancers. Mm. And so, you know, the bouncer's like, no, like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But then Brittany came out of the bathroom, like, a minute later. And so everything was cool.
But this also happens on a night that right before somebody goes missing. So.
Right. So
worth mentioning.
Exactly. And so the three of them, you know, go outside. I've read, I think, like one report where somebody from the strip club like gave them like a waters or something like that. But basically they went out and they waited for their, you know, rideshare to come.
Okay.
And I think it took around 15, 20 minutes. The Uber arrived around 3 a.m. and the three of them headed back to the hotel. Sean and Tyler immediately passed out, like as soon as they got into the car, which was not good for Brittany because apparently once Tyler is out, he stays out.
Mm.
So she was dreading, you know, waking him up and getting him out of the car up into the hotel room once they got back. But whatever she imagined was going to happen once they arrived back at the Hilton wasn't anywhere near as bad as what actually happened. Brittany, Travis, and Sean all arrived back at the Hilton at 3:18 a.m., and this is where all of the trouble started. Brittany managed to wake Tyler up, but he was confused and agitated. He started to argue that they weren't at the right hotel and thought they were getting kicked out of the Uber. And to be fair, they kind of were getting kicked out of the Uber because the guy got them there and he's like, get out of my car. Like, I don't care if you think you're at the wrong place.
This is where you told me to take you.
Yeah. And so like, I need y'all to leave. So in a way they were getting kicked out of the Uber, but you know.
Right.
Yeah. So Brittany and Sean tried to convince him that they were at the right place, but Tyler wasn't buying it. He kept getting more and more frustrated and said that he was going to take a walk. Brittany initially said she would go with him, but her phone was dying and she had to pee again. So Sean said that he would just go with him instead.
Okay.
And I want to break in here real quick to explain why people were initially very confused and suspicious about this entire situation. Initial reports and public appeals didn't mention that they all went out to a strip club. So people didn't understand what they were doing out so late because everything around there was closed and had been closed for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
The earliest reports also just stated that Tyler had walked away from a hotel at 4 a.m., which, again, didn't make sense to anyone.
Right. Yeah. What did he like wake up and leave?
Right. They had no idea. So as an example, in one of the earliest articles I was able to find on this case from March 13th, it said that Brittany and Tyler were staying in Easton to celebrate her birthday, and the only information it gave about the circumstances surrounding his disappearance was, quote, she was concerned because her husband took a walk outside their hotel in the early morning hours of February 24th and never came back, end quote.
Yeah, that's not at all what happened.
No. So you can see why people were suspicious and they're like, none of this makes sense.
Yeah, because they didn't have the whole story.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, yeah, like what did he just wake up at 4 a.m. and decide, gotta go for a walk?
Yeah. And then I'm just gonna walk off and start a new life and never come back, you know? Early reports also didn't mention that Sean was with them. So when this information came out later, people were highly suspicious of that. They couldn't understand why Sean was with them on a romantic night out and thought that his presence and the fact that Brittany didn't immediately mention it were sketchy. He also wasn't named, which people on the internet also do not like. So all of this is to say that when the public first began to hear about Tyler's case, they immediately screamed foul play. All right, but back to the timeline.
Yes, please.
At 3:37, Tyler calls Brittany and says that he's sorry. He told her he was going to have a cigarette and make his way back to the hotel.
Wait, yeah. Is Sean with him still?
Yes.
Didn't he say he was going?
Yes.
Okay.
So Sean is with him at this point, and, you know, Tyler calls Brittany, apologizes, says he's going to have a cigarette. So Sean shows up a few minutes later and tells Brittany basically the same thing, that Tyler's fine and he's going to be back in a few.
Okay, so phone call happens.
Mm-hmm.
Sean goes back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Tyler stays out to smoke a cig.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back, but doesn't come back.
Right. In a 2019 interview, Sean said that Tyler was definitely the type of dude who gets drunk and storms off.
Okay.
And they've been friends for a long time, and so Sean's seen this type of behavior before, which to me explains why he was just like, all right, have your cigarette. And he like headed back in, you know?
Yeah. I have questions, but keep going.
Yeah. Brittany disagreed. She said that this wasn't the type of thing that Tyler did. But according to some of the sources, this was apparently the first time that Tyler and Brittany had ever gone out drinking together.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. That's random.
I know. So if that's true, then she doesn't really know
right
how he would act in a situation like this.
Yeah.
You know? According to Sean, he went after Tyler, again, when he told Brittany that he was going to go walk with him. According to Sean, he went after Tyler and told him something to the effect of, hey, man, get your ass back to your wife. She's crying.
Yeah.
Okay. So that call was at 3:37. And so Sean and Brittany are now both back at the hotel and they're waiting. And a couple minutes go by, like 5 minutes, and Tyler still isn't back. So at 3:42, Sean spoke with Tyler on the phone for about 8 minutes. And I'm not clear if Sean called Tyler or Tyler called Sean. I would imagine that Sean called Tyler, but I can't be sure on that. I do know that the phone call was at 3:42 and lasted for about 8 minutes. He told Tyler on the phone call that Brittany was back up in the room in bed and everything was fine. Tyler said that he was going to start trying to find his way back, to which Sean told him to look for the big white building with the H on the side.
Helpful.
Yeah. What this is sounding like, though, is that what Tyler originally said, which is that he's going to like stay out 5 minutes, have a cigarette, come back, isn't true. It sounds like he kept walking away from the hotel because 5 minutes later, he's telling Sean that he's going to start trying to make his way back.
Yeah. Okay. So can I interject with questions
absolutely.
Here? Okay. So Sean and Tyler are out. They walk away from the hotel. Where did Sean leave Tyler?
Like how far away from the hotel you mean?
Yeah. What's the neighborhood like? Did he leave him in a parking lot? Is it a residential area?
Yeah.
Like where are they last seen together?
Yeah. So, okay. So you've got the Hilton and directly across the street from the Hilton is like, I don't want to say woods, but trees. All right. And this whole area is kind of an industrial type area. So nearby are different businesses and office campuses, like large, you know, office campuses, things like that. And then some restaurants and things of that nature.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a mixed use type area. There's not residential directly around them. They're not in the middle of nowhere. There are plenty of businesses around, but nothing that's open. And like I said, it's like a lot of offices and things of that nature.
Sure, but well-lit areas, one would assume.
Yeah, some of them.
Parking lots.
Right, but then also like these sections of trees and stuff, which are not lit.
Sure, but also if it's not residential, then there's not a bunch of random people that could have potentially seen him or them.
Exactly. Yeah. They're not like in the middle of the city. It's not like, you know, he's on a busy road or anything like that.
And they're far enough away from the strip club because it's not like this was right next to the dollhouse because you're talking almost like a 20-minute car ride, maybe even a little bit longer. So it's not like the bouncer would have followed them if, you know, he was pissed off or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they absolutely 100% made it far away from the strip club.
I'm just trying to set up the setting here of where Tyler was.
No, I know. And actually, we have a lot of specific information about where Tyler was.
Okay. Do we have CCTV footage?
Eventually, yeah.
Okay.
But more than the CCTV footage, digital forensics show the route that Tyler took.
Oh, from pinging his cell phone?
Yeah, and because his GPS location services were on.
Nice.
So we're not even talking cell phone tower pings. Like, right. We're just talking about the GPS
data from his
phone. You can
actually map his walking.
Exactly.
Where his phone was.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
God, that's really helpful.
Yeah. So, and this map has been released by police, and you can take a look on our blog, which is andthentheyweregone.com/blog, for those of you who have not been there before. Based on the distance covered and the times, it seems that he was walking at like a normal, steady pace. You know, he's not running or anything like that. You know, he's not taking long like pauses where he's like stumbling around. You know, it just seems like
He's out for a walk.
Yeah, he's just taking a walk.
Yeah.
He ends up on Easton Circle around 3:40 when he was on the phone with Sean.
Okay.
He continued walking and ended up near Abbott Labs before heading toward the Hilton. His last location showed him at the intersection of Stelzer Road and Morse Crossing, which is about a mile and a half from the hotel. So, I mean, he took a good long walk.
Hilton Columbus at Easton, right?
Yep.
Looking it up on maps. It's my favorite thing.
I know. You love a map.
I do. But it gives me a good, like, idea of the area.
He took a circuitous route. So I'll show you the map. And like I said, listeners, sorry, this is, you know, not super visual, but you can go and follow along on our blog. But let me show you the map of his route. All right. So I airdropped the map to you.
Yeah. So I have it. I'm trying to figure out where it is.
But you can see he wasn't walking in a straight line.
No, not
like
at all.
He's kind of the route is like a U shape, basically. He almost just kind of made a circle.
So he was over on the other side of the intersection.
Yeah.
Where there's like what looks like a bunch of parking lots.
At this point, when he's at the intersection of Stelzer and Morse, he asked his phone to take him to Easton Suites at 3:51 a.m.
Easton Suites.
That's what he says.
So not Hilton Columbus at Easton.
Correct.
So where is Easton Suites?
Well, all right. So at 3:53, his phone location shut off and CPD could no longer track him. His phone was not dead, however. What it sounds like is that his phone went into low power mode. And I don't know if he had like an Apple or an Android or what type of phone he had. But it sounds like it probably went into low power mode. So GPS tracking and other functions that take up a lot of battery in the background were shut off. He could, however, still make and receive calls. So because of this, we don't know where he was or what he was doing for the next 13 minutes. But at 4:10 a.m., Tyler called Brittany again to say that he was walking through the woods and could see the hotel.
Is that even a thing? Easton Suites?
No, he was drunk.
No, I know that. But like, so like I just typed that into Maps.
What did it, bring up anything?
I mean, Spring Hill Suites on Morse Road.
Yeah.
Which is 6 minutes away, a six minute drive. I'm sorry. So let me do walking. So it's a 22 minute walk from the Hilton Columbus East into Spring Hill Suites.
Right. But where was it?
So it's past the parking lot where he was last seen.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have had to have walked past the Hilton Columbus Easton to get to Spring Hill Suites.
Oh, interesting.
And in between, there is a group of trees, but not a big one.
Right. And so that brings me to the next point that I want to make, because it's important for people who don't understand the geography of suburban Columbus, Ohio, that when Tyler tells Brittany he's walking through the woods, like, he's not talking about a forest.
No, there is a large park, Cherry Bottom Park. He would have had to have gone across a highway to get to it. Where he was, I mean, he would have had to have walked a really long way to get to Park Ridge Park, Tanager Woods Parkland. But, I mean, like, he would have had to have walked past all of the hotels and made it just into this wooded area.
So any trees that he's talking about that's on the route that we saw, it's a group of trees.
Yeah, like, it's not deep woods.
Yeah, like it's basically an area that was a forest at one point and was cleared out to build a shopping center or houses or whatever. And they leave a group of trees to give the illusion of nature.
Yes, to look nice and calming.
Right. It's an area that a normal sober person would find their way out of in like a minute or two, basically.
Yeah.
It should be noted, however, that there are bodies of water within these areas, including a relatively large pond by Abbott Labs. So there were certainly places in which a drunk man could get into trouble at 4 a.m.
That lake, quote unquote, pond.
It's
like a runoff pond.
Right.
From when they were doing the original construction, and then they just left it as a pond.
Exactly, yeah.
So not a very big body of water, certainly something that could easily be searched.
So a few minutes after this 4:10 a.m. phone call, Tyler called Brittany again. She answered and said that there was silence for 4 seconds, and then the call ended. She tried to call him back, but the phone went straight to voicemail. It is believed that this is when his phone died. After this, Brittany waited for Tyler, expecting him to knock on the door at any minute. After all, he said he could see the hotel, so he couldn't have been that far away. But the minutes passed and no Tyler. By this point, Sean is no doubt exhausted and not really interested in getting in the middle of whatever marital drama is going to occur once Tyler returns, so he heads home around 4:30.
He went home?
Yeah.
I guess he was sober?
Well, I don't know that he drove home.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But still, like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, because this has been seen as suspicious behavior by a lot of people.
Him going home?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
while his friend is missing.
What? Okay, but they at this point, he doesn't know that his friend is actually missing, quote unquote.
Right.
It's, do I want to stay in this hotel room with my friend's drunk, upset wife, or do I just want to go home? Because I know, like, my friend likes to do this when he's drunk, and he's, like, probably blowing off steam or whatever, and he'll make it back on his own.
Yeah, no, and I think that's what makes sense to me. The only weird thing that I find with it is that if he really did go at 4:30, that's like 20 minutes after they last spoke with him, and he's still not back. So that seems like an odd time to go, you know?
Yeah, like maybe I would have, at that point, I would have stuck around until he got home or until...
Yeah, like if he left at like 4, you know, like right after that phone call,
yeah,
where Tyler's like... I see the hotel, and Sean's like, all right, sweet, peace. Like,
yeah.
Like that to me makes more sense. You know, waiting until 4:30 is a little strange, but again, overall, I think it's exactly what you said. Like, he's probably still drunk. He's probably tired because he's not a night owl like these guys are. Like, he works an office job, and he just like wanted to not be a part of this anymore because it wasn't fun at this point.
So interestingly enough, right next to Spring Hill Suites is also a Hampton Inn Suites.
Mm.
So also a building that would have had an H on it.
Yeah. So after Sean left, Brittany was still worried because, you know, Tyler wasn't back. So she started calling around to some of her friends and just asked them what they should do. And I mean, shout out to anyone who's answering a phone call from like a random friend at 4:30 a.m. It would not be me. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, definitely not.
But they did. And they all basically told her like not to worry. He'd come home, you know, he's drunk, she's drunk, just like it'll be fine. But Brittany couldn't just sit and do nothing, so she started calling nearby jails, thinking that Tyler might have gotten picked up by police and ended up in the drunk tank.
That's actually very smart. That's very reasonable to assume that.
I think that would be like the most reasonable thing, you know, when he's not showing up at this point. You're like, oh shit, like he stumbled in front of a, you know, squad car.
Yeah,
and
public
drunkenness.
Yeah, they took him in to sober up or whatever.
Exactly. But when that proved fruitless, she started calling hospitals.
Logical next step.
Yeah, but no one matching his description had been brought in. Though she was concerned about his safety, she wasn't overly worried at that point. She thought it was more likely that, you know, he had gotten picked up by the cops or had fallen asleep on a bench somewhere.
Logical.
Yeah. And it was Ohio in February, and he didn't have a coat, but it was actually in the mid-50s at that point in the morning. So likely, you know, it's not life-threatening if he fell asleep outside for a few hours.
Right.
People have been arguing about this on the internet a lot,
about
too.
About what level hypothermia sets in?
Right, right. But, I mean, typically, he's like a normal-sized guy, and unless there's water involved.
Right, yeah. Even having alcohol in his system and lowering his body temperature, like mid-50s, you're not talking about hypothermia unless there's some underlying medical condition that we don't know about that could present itself. But I'm assuming at some point we're going to talk about a search being done. So if he had suffered some sort of hypothermia or whatever that caused him to go unconscious, he would have been found. This is not a deeply wooded area or a difficult area to search.
So by daybreak, there was still no sign of her husband. So Brittany did start to panic in earnest. She got a hold of their friend Adam, who drove to the hotel around 8 a.m. to help her look for Tyler. They drove around hoping to find him sleeping it off somewhere. Like, again, just literally on a bench is what they were thinking.
So only we're talking 3.5 hours. You said around 8 a.m.?
Yeah, so it's about like almost three and a half to four hours since they last heard from him. She and Adam didn't have any luck. Unfortunately, Tyler wasn't just sleeping on a bench somewhere. So at around 9:30, she called Tyler's parents to tell them what was going on, and Tyler's father drove to Easton while Tyler's mother stayed with the baby.
You said it was about 40 minutes. Now we're talking about 10:30, her dad getting there.
His dad, yeah.
His dad getting there.
Yeah, probably about 10:30. So after looking around for about another hour or so, Brittany called Columbus police to report her husband missing. They reacted predictably, telling her...
He's an adult.
Yep.
He's allowed to walk off on his own. He's not missing.
Exactly. And that they really couldn't do anything unless it had been between 48 and 72 hours since anyone had last heard from him. And as you pointed out, we're at probably like 6 hours by this point, six and a half.
Which, incidentally, I just want to say that that whole like have to be missing for a certain amount of time before they do anything.
Yeah.
That's completely made up.
Oh, no, it's arbitrary. And again, yes. And as we've shown, like, you know, that's changed over the years. Different departments do it different ways.
Yeah, there's no science behind it. It's just them not want. I get it. They don't want to waste resources looking for somebody that may just literally walk back home.
Right. But what's frustrating, and Josh Mankiewicz from Dateline brought this up.
Name drop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like you brought it up to me over drinks as much as I would enjoy that. But no, I'm a big Dateline podcast listener, as I'm sure a lot of you are. And in a recent one, he was talking about this because obviously, you know, he's covered a lot of missing persons cases as well.
Right.
Some solved, some unsolved. And you know, he does talk about how this did start as like, you know, they don't want to waste resources, blah, 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 like you were saying. But it doesn't make sense in this day and age, because it's not as though you need to send out a ton of uniformed officers to beat the streets looking for this guy.
One officer.
Not even.
Is all you need.
You don't even need that. You have your social media person put out Facebook post and say, hey guys, have you seen this person? Like, they're missing. And that's it. I mean, there's no time, money, anything that you need to expand, that you need to use right away. Right. If you think that this is probably just some bullshit case and the guy's going to walk back, right? Like, all you're costing is 20 minutes of somebody's time.
Yeah.
Put it out on the internet.
I'll give you that.
And that's it, right? And then if you, you know, whatever rubric this particular department uses to actually start investigating a case, like then, you know, okay, you wait for that. But there's no reason why when somebody is reported missing, you don't just put out a tweet or like a Facebook post or whatever. Like it doesn't cost you anything.
Absolutely. So I agree with that 100%, obviously. But I would go a step further and say that, I mean, I'm sorry, but especially in like a suburb of Columbus, Ohio, not downplaying their crime rate.
I mean, it's not low. I mean,
no, sure. Look, like, hey,
we do have things to do.
I get it. We've been to some sketchy parts of Ohio.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But like, How many officers were setting speed traps that day?
Right.
Like they couldn't have just taken one and said, drive around.
Yeah.
Drive around and look for this guy.
Yeah.
That's, and I'm not bashing Columbus PD, but like just food for thought. Maybe we need to get away from this whole, like a person has to be missing for a certain amount of time before you do something or anything
right? Yeah. Yes. It's just completely asinine, especially again with technology.
Yes, right.
The police did allow them to file a missing persons report, however, so Tyler was at least in the system at this point. So when Tyler's father got there, he started searching for him on foot, which, you know, it doesn't sound like they had done up to that point, because it sounds like Brittany and the friends drove around. So Tyler's dad went on foot. So to me, that's saying that Tyler's dad is going into like those wooded areas
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he did that and they were kind of there and searching.
But did he know what direction he had walked?
No. I mean, I think all he knew is that he headed away from the hotel, kind of toward like the trees that were right across from the hotel.
Uh-huh.
But at that point, they didn't know anything beyond that.
Okay.
So, yeah. And I don't know exactly where he ended up going.
Gotcha.
But so yeah. They kind of looked around all day. And then as it got later in the day, Brittany, you know, decided to go back to their house to check on her son.
Sure.
You know? And so she stayed there for a while, but then came back to Easton in the evening to continue to search. They also got some friends to help look for Tyler. Late in the evening of the 24th or early morning of the 25th, they ended up getting Hilton security involved. And it seems weird that they waited that long to get security involved.
I mean, maybe they were hoping that the police would do that.
Yeah, I guess. But the hotel said that they would pull CCTV footage to see if they could find anything useful. The first police search for Tyler didn't occur until Tuesday, February 26th, over 48 hours after he told his wife he'd be right back. After police completed their initial searches, they told Brittany that they searched some bodies of water in some woods, focusing on the areas where Tyler's phone pinged. They brought out search dogs, and according to only one source that I read, so again, I'm not sure of the veracity of this, they did say the dogs hit on the area of one of the ponds.
Is it the same pond that we were talking about?
I don't know which pond it was. Someone on Web Sleuths made a fantastic Google map of Travis's route and overlaid it with all of the law enforcement searches that had been completed. All of the wooded areas around his route had been searched, along with any bodies of water, one of which is a swamp. The search even extended to the woods that were nearly 3 miles away from the hotel and nowhere near where Tyler's phone pinged that night. There are, however, parts of the Abbott Labs campus, which is quite large, that appear to have not been searched.
Is Abbott Labs where he was walking around?
Yeah, that's one of the places where his phone picked him up.
Looking at that campus, it is quite large. However, there is a lot of open space.
Yeah, it's a lot of cleared land.
Yeah, there is a pond and some woods. But the pond, again, it looks like it was like a runoff pond when they were building the campus that they just kept as a body of water.
We're not talking about natural bodies of water that are like 50 feet deep or anything
those,
like that.
Those are pretty shallow and they're not very big. And they, generally speaking, don't have any current or outlets where a body could go. It's not like it feeds into a river or anything. It's just a stagnant body of water at that point. So easily searchable. Same with the woods of that campus. I mean, right on that block, there's not a lot of places that you could go.
Yeah.
Or go missing, I guess.
Yeah, I keep on going back to the Kyron Horman case, you know, which is in the Pacific Northwest. And that's not an area of the country that I've actually ever been to. And
it's Pacific Northwest, so you have an image of what it's like.
Right.
Like super wooded.
But I didn't really
almost rainforest.
Yeah, but I didn't even like fully grasp it until we did that episode. And I was like looking at the maps and looking at the forest that was right next to his school and like, that is a forest.
Yes.
Like,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You go in there and you can understand how no one would be found for years.
Right.
Like, it's incredibly large, incredibly dense. And that's not what we're talking about here.
No. The only thing that concerns me is that the grounds around Abbott Labs, there is a major highway.
Right.
Right next to
on the other side. Yeah.
270 runs right by it. So the concerning thing with me is what if he got hit by a car and then for whatever reason, the person picked up his body?
Yeah. And that is one of the theories that's been floated.
I mean, because, you know, like if it was a hit and run, they would have found his body.
Obviously, yeah.
It's a major highway. But like, yeah, I mean, if somebody hit him accidentally and then stopped and picked him up and took him wherever.
Yeah.
But then you would think that maybe they would have found, I mean, we don't know if they searched 270 or looked around, maybe they would have found some blood evidence or whatever.
Right. I mean, you would think that there'd be blood or glass or something.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like anything like that was found anywhere on any road nearby.
It doesn't seem like this is something that was planned out for him to leave spontaneously on his own. Right.
Right.
Like
right.
He was drunk. That's not something that you can really fake. You have two eyewitnesses that were with him all night who were drinking with him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not like, it's not like they'd be like, oh, well, he was acting really drunk, but he only bought like two drinks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's nothing like that. It sounds like he was drinking a lot. You know, there have been theories that he like fell out of the Uber when they got to the hotel and like hit his head and he was disoriented and that's why all this was happening. But Brittany has stressed that like one, that never happened. And two, she says that every time she spoke with him, like, yeah, he was drunk, but he was coherent.
Even if he had fallen and hit his head and was disoriented, sure, that leads to some of what makes sense of him getting lost, but like, where did he go?
Right. Yeah.
It falls back to the same thing, like drunk and disoriented.
How do you disappear off the face of the earth?
Yes. You don't just disappear because you're disoriented.
Right. So none of the searches done by, you know, Brittany, their friends, police, anybody ever turned up any sign of Tyler.
No blood evidence.
Nope. No clothes.
No clothes.
You know, no. Nothing.
Cell phone never came back on.
Nope. Brittany took a polygraph test eventually and passed, but Sean allegedly decided against it and retained an attorney.
I'm not faulting him.
I know. And again, a lot of people did.
I know. Of course. Yes. Because it shows like whatever, like you automatically think that like,
oh,
he must
be
hiding something.
And to be fair, there are a lot of people in these cases that we've talked about that have also lawyered up and refused to take a polygraph who I think, you know, did have something to do with the person going missing. Guilty and innocent people lawyer up and refuse to take polygraph tests.
Yeah. And I don't blame them because,
yeah.
A, polygraphs are complete bullshit. And B, never talk to fucking cops.
Never talk to a cop. We also need to put Sean's decisions at this point into the context of what was happening on the internet in the months following Tyler's disappearance. Like many families of missing people, Tyler's family started a Facebook group. It was called Bring Tyler Davis Home. Brittany also appeared on an episode of True Crime Garage shortly thereafter. For those of you like Ethan, who doesn't know anything,
I just made a face.
Yeah, just like, what is this? True Crime Garage is an Ohio-based true crime podcast that is much more successful than ours.
Oh, so since we're name-dropping them, like, hopefully they hear this and maybe they name-drop us so that we can get a little bit more exposure.
I do not think that will happen. But anyway, I mean, the point is that Brittany went in front of a very large audience a couple months after Tyler's disappearance. When she went on the show, she had notes on their timeline that she'd pulled together based on receipts and phone calls. And that's the basis of the timeline that I've gone through so far in this episode, was what she pulled together.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Also good on her for like taking that initiative and providing supportive evidence.
Documentation.
And
yeah.
Documentation of the timeline.
You would think.
Well, I mean, you would
think that would be a good thing.
How is that not a good thing?
Well, so she goes on the episode, she goes through the timeline, and after the episode aired, listeners immediately turned against her. They said she sounded too rehearsed and not genuine.
Oh my God.
But she sounded rehearsed because she was reading from her notes.
Yeah.
So like she was. You know, and
I'm sorry, reciting a timeline is not the same as like making an emotional plea. So like you're faulting her because she sounds
like she's reading when she's reading.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting because like, again, as a person who covers these cases, having a concrete timeline is
huge,
such a blessing. And, yes. And we don't have that in so many cases for a variety of different reasons.
Yes.
And to have it is just so helpful.
Yes.
That to fault her and, you know, for that is just wild to me. But this whole appearance led to people spouting off their theories in the Facebook group, which was extremely difficult for Tyler's family to see. They began to delete posts and comments and even blocked some users. And then this led to them being accused of trying to shape the narrative around Tyler's disappearance and hide the facts.
This is why the internet is terrible.
Now, during all of this, Sean's full name, phone number, and other information was released on the internet.
Not Cole.
Nope. So he was doxxed, which led him to deactivate all of his social media accounts. Brittany and Sean, whom I believe, but I am not positive, I think Sean was also married, were accused of having an affair. And some even speculated that Aaron was Sean's child, not Tyler's.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Now, there are a few things that I would like to say about Sean. I very easily, just in my normal course of researching this case, found his full name, but I'm deliberately not using it in this episode. He has reinstated at least some of his social media accounts since all of this went down. But like, if you look at his Instagram, there's nothing between 2019 and 2021. So yeah, like there was at least a full 2 years where he was just out, you know? But from what I can tell, he works in the finance industry in the type of job that could have definitely been jeopardized when all of these accusations were flying around.
Yeah, for sure.
And there doesn't seem to be any basis for the idea that he and Brittany were involved in any way or that he did anything to Tyler, who was one of his closest friends. And as for him being the father of Brittany's baby, Brittany and Tyler are white. Sean is black.
That
it would have been a pretty easy determination to make.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like if something seems a little hinky there.
Yeah.
All of this is to say, I can understand why he's been trying to stay out of the limelight since 2019.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, the internet is terrible and everybody feels like they can say or do whatever they want and it has no consequence because they're just a voice on the internet.
And so I understand why he retained an attorney. And of course, any attorney would tell him not to take a polygraph. Like, I'm sure that came directly from his lawyer.
Yes, because once again, polygraphs are bullshit.
Right. And listen, I could be completely wrong, of course. Like, maybe this guy is a psychopath. Like, I don't know. I don't know this man. I don't know. But just given the general facts, I personally don't think he was involved in anything nefarious. Like, to me, it sounds like he was just a friend who got caught up in an insane situation.
Let's also look at the timeline here. Specifically because, so we know Sean was the last person to see Tyler.
Right.
Right. So we're talking between, 3:18 when they got to the hotel
mm-hmm.
and 3:37 when Tyler called and said, I'm going to smoke a cig and then come back to the hotel.
Right.
And then after that phone call, Sean goes back to the hotel and calls Tyler.
Right.
Right.
Like he's with Brittany.
He's with Brittany and calls Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
So unless Sean and Brittany are in on this and they conspired to kill Tyler and somehow magically dispose of his body, in, I don't know, we have cell phone evidence of the phone call at 3:42.
Right. Well, no, but then he called Brittany again at 4:10. So 4:10 is the last phone call. So we know he's alive, you know, based on phone records.
At 4:10.
At 4:10, right?
And so, then when did Sean, you said Sean went home at some point.
At like 4:30.
And do we have any evidence of that?
I don't. I haven't seen any specific evidence of that. You know, one of the theories is that when Sean left at 4:30 or whenever he left, then he went and found Tyler and murdered him.
Murdered him and then magically disposed of his body where nobody would find it.
Yeah, and it's...
And he doesn't have a car.
Well, I don't know if he had a car. I don't know how he got to the hotel. I assume he drove because he lived 10 minutes away, but he might not have. He might have taken an Uber to the hotel. I honestly do not know.
Because he lived 10 minutes away, and it would have been a cheap Uber, and he wouldn't have to worry about
his car, right? Yeah. So I do not know if he had his car with him or not. I don't know how he got there. I don't know how he got home. But I also don't know what the motive would have been for him to just randomly go out and murder his friend, other than this whole theory of him sleeping with Tyler's wife and maybe fathering their child.
Right. So let's fast forward to now.
Yeah.
In between then and now, I'm assuming Sean and Brittany are not together.
Right. Because that is one thing that
Sean is not fathering Tyler's child.
Yeah.
Or being a father to his child.
Correct. Correct. Like, I don't know if Sean and Brittany talk anymore. Like, I don't know if they have any sort of friendship
or
anything.
That in...
Yeah, they didn't end up together.
That should debunk that theory right now.
Yeah.
I get where that could have been the theory at the beginning, but okay, we're in 2023.
Right, we're almost 5 years in, and no,
they are not together. They have never been together.
No.
Sean is married to somebody else, correct?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think he was at the time. I don't know if they're still, you know,
sure.
I don't know what's going on there.
Doesn't matter. But
he's not married to Brittany.
They're not together, and Sean is not replacing Tyler as the father to their son. So theory debunked.
Yeah.
There is no motive.
Yeah. I just
that
don't
makes
see
no sense.
A motive. And, you know, Brittany said, she's like, it's not like anybody was fighting. It's not like we had like weird things happen while we were out. Like it was a normal night. Everything was cool. And until we got back to the hotel. So, you know, over the years, there've been a lot of people on the internet who do not agree with this assessment that Sean had nothing to do with it and he was just like a friend who got caught up in this. After the moderators on Tyler's original Facebook group started shutting down the speculation and hurtful comments, a new Facebook group popped up. Then when people didn't like the way that one was being handled, a third one was created by someone else. And there's a Columbus Monthly article that goes into all of this in depth that I linked to as one of our sources, which again, you can find on our blog. So you can really read, I mean, all about the two different people who started these Facebook groups and why, and you know, what their motives are, et cetera, et cetera. But I didn't really want to get into all of that here. But in these various groups, several accusations have been levied, including that Brittany's mother has an extensive criminal record. And now Brittany's mother, we haven't even spoken about up to this point. She hasn't even entered the story. She was not there that day. It was Tyler's parents who were watching their son, not Brittany's parents. But, you know, somebody came on Facebook and was like, oh, well, look at her. She's got this huge criminal record. Now, it was later shown that they had just found the criminal record of a different person with the same name.
Well, that's nice. That's great.
And Brittany's actual mother doesn't have anything worse than like a traffic ticket on her record.
Once again, internet is trash.
Yeah. So same as Brittany, right? And they did bring up like, oh, she got this ticket when she was 16. It's like, okay, you know? And listen,
who doesn't get a ticket when they're 16?
Right. And I always dig into people's background reports as well, you know, when I'm talking about them on this show. But like, again, you
or
know,
just in life.
Yeah. Everybody has traffic tickets, like, you know, and I think it's important to, yes, if you have somebody who's acting suspiciously, like see what maybe they've been up to in the past and see if there's anything that could be connected. But like, we also say like, okay, just because they did X, Y, and Z doesn't mean that they murdered and like hid a body, you know?
Yes, right. That they made that leap to murder and hiding a body.
Like, right. And so Brittany had like a ticket.
And apparently becoming a fucking pro at it because...
Right, because it's never been found.
Yeah.
These people did continue to dig deeper into Brittany's family's background, including the mysterious death of Brittany's father. Okay, this one is wild, and it comes from the True Crime subreddit. It reads, Brittany's father, quote, passed away on August 29th, 2009. He'd been drinking heavily and passed out in his truck, and when a fire started in the engine compartment, he never woke up. His body was found the next day as he'd been idling in his van in an alleyway. Posters speculated that Brittany's mother, Melissa Fields, had killed her husband, and Brittany was simply following the family tradition by killing Tyler. One group discussion speculated that the reason Brittany and her mother were so close was that they were both helping each other cover up murders, end quote. And I really just thought it was important to just read that, you know?
Sure. Motive on either?
No idea.
I don't know what Wendy's offers as far as, you know, life insurance to their employees. I was an employee of Wendy's when I was 16.
Oh, but yeah, that's right, yeah.
Not something I looked into because, you know, I was 16.
Right.
But I can't imagine that it would be a whole lot or big right. enough to motivate somebody to kill their spouse and dispose of the body when you have a one-year-old child and seemingly there are no issues.
Exactly. And so, yeah, that's what I'm going to get to. But, you know, going back to the father, like, yes, that is a very strange death.
It's a horrible way to die.
It's a horrible way to die. It's very weird, very uncommon. Like, I'll give you that. I mean, you know.
Sure.
But to make the leap from a strange death to Brittany's mother murdered him to then Brittany murdering her husband and working with her mother to cover it up is a pretty big leap.
Yeah, it's a... I'm going to say something that might upset you here, but it's a bunch of people that are obsessed with Dateline.
Hey.
And see conspiracies everywhere they turn.
Back to your point, what is the motive, right? Like, what would Brittany's motive have been? An affair with Sean? Money? Like,
well, we debunked,
what would it have been?
We debunked the affair.
Yeah. Now, Brittany has given several interviews to various news sources since her husband's disappearance. And oftentimes, as is normal when you give interviews, like your quotes are cut down.
Right.
For instance, in one, she was talking about like all the things that made Tyler great and like why she loved him so much. And it got boiled down to her saying that he was a, quote, good provider. And this led to some people claiming that she killed him for money. And had been making him work extra shifts before this trip so that they could build up a nest egg before she murdered him.
That's a bit of a reach.
A little, yeah. These are not wealthy people.
Right? I didn't want to step on that, but like what?
I mean, they were doing.
Would they be considered as a nest egg?
Exactly, and they were doing fine from what I can understand. Sure. But yeah, they're wealthy people.
Yeah, I mean, like she's a bartender. He's a manager at Wendy's.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like she was working full time or anything. From what it sounds like, she would like pick up shifts. Here and there.
Right, and by no means are we downplaying what they're doing.
Oh no, absolutely not.
And like you look, hey, you can make a shit ton of money as a bartender.
Yeah,
way more money than you could ever possibly think. Honestly,
yeah. That's why my sister kept on going back to it. She tried a bunch of different jobs and just kept on going back to bartending because, like, she was good at it and she made money.
Yeah. So, and nothing wrong with either of these professions. However, they're not going to make you a millionaire.
Right. Typically not the amount of money that people kill over. Typically. But, you know, people kill over $10. Like,
true.
You never know. But still. But what I can't imagine is that even if Wendy's or, you know, whomever has a fantastic life insurance policy, I can't imagine that she's in a better financial situation now than she was before Tyler went missing.
Right, because he's not even considered dead. He's missing.
Right, yeah. And that's the thing.
So there is no life insurance policy.
And if eventually there is, it's going to take years.
Right.
When somebody goes missing, you don't collect on life insurance right away. Like, it is a multi-year process.
Yes. That's decided by state.
Exactly.
The amount of time they have to be missing before you can declare them dead.
Right. So this was not a cash grab. Like, there was no quick payout here. What happened when Brittany went home, you know, 2 days later, whenever she ended up going home, is the main provider in her household was no longer able to work.
Because he wasn't there.
Yeah. And that was it.
Yeah.
So I cannot imagine, again, that she was in a better financial situation in any way.
Second theory debunked.
On the flip side, the theory that law enforcement initially went with was that Brittany and Tyler got into a fight and he left and just decided not to come back.
Okay. Well, I will say this. Evidence would point to that.
Right.
Not necessarily them fighting, but...
But, you know,
there
people
is no
are
evidence
out,
of that.
No, but
whatever.
They're out, you're drinking. Like, sure. It's not but, a leap to say the, that they could have gotten into a fight.
Absolutely. And the evidence is they were out drinking and then he vanished.
He voluntarily walked
there's
away.
There's no evidence of foul play anywhere
because right.
they did a search and didn't discover anything.
Yeah.
So that's a fair leap. It's a fair jump.
I honestly think it is. I think it's incredibly reasonable on day one or, you know, even day two.
Yeah.
But I feel like once you get to day three plus and he hasn't come back to get any of his shit, like it doesn't make a ton of sense at that point. Not out of the realm of possibility.
Robert Hoagland.
I know.
You know, he was gone 10 years.
Yeah.
And he had a whole other life.
A whole other life. At an October 2019 press conference, Columbus PD released the map that showed Tyler's path based on his cell phone data, and that's the one that I airdropped to you earlier. They also released a short audio clip in which he used the voice command to help him get directions back to the hotel. So I talked about this, but now we can actually hear it.
Short audio clip of Tyler's voice.
Please.
Take me to Easton Suites. That's what detectives say Tyler is saying.
I know. It's short. Here, I'll play it one more time.
Tyler's voice.
Now, I know this is like a 0.1 second clip, and I do not know this man, but he seems drunk.
Yeah.
I do want to mention that both Brittany and Sean, like I said, did say that he sounded coherent when they talked to him. He may not have been sober, but he was making a relative amount of sense while he was on the phone. But the Timonies and Sweets, like, that is like a drunk dude shouting at his phone trying to get home.
Right.
But I do believe that the fact that he called it Easton Suites, which you already kind of picked up on, is important.
Yeah, because there is no Easton Suites.
Right.
And there's two different hotels.
That have suites.
That have suites in the name.
Uh-huh.
That are located very close to the Hilton where they were staying.
Exactly.
One of which also has an H in the name.
Right, the Hampton Suites, yeah.
The Hampton Suites, which would have had an H on the side of the building.
Now, not the H, because Hilton's logo is an H, and
it's
Hampton
a,
Inn
a
and
It's a giant
Suites.
Green H, yes.
Yeah.
So, understand, but...
But yeah,
if you're
clearly
if you're drunk,
he didn't know
yes.
where he was staying, right?
And if you're drunk and your friend told you, look for the hotel that has an H on it...
Yeah, maybe he ended up walking toward the Hampton Suites, saw that, and kind of headed that way.
Right.
And yeah,
none of these routes also put him going over the highway. He's paralleling the
right,
highway.
Right, yes. He's still on the same side of the highway.
Right.
So, like, getting back to, like, take me to the Easton Suites, I wouldn't expect any random first-time guest to say, take me to the Hilton Columbus at Easton, but... I would expect them to say, take me to the Hilton or take me to the Easton Hilton. So, yeah, based on the fact that he's just like Easton Suites, one, I think he was drunk as hell still.
Sure.
And yeah, there's at least a chance that when Tyler said he saw the hotel and he was heading that way, he was heading to the completely wrong hotel.
Right. One of the two hotels that have suites in the name
yep.
that are right next to each other.
Yeah, because when you say take me to Easton Suites, there's no reason that your GPS or your Siri or, you know, whatever you're using at that point would take you to the Hilton.
No, I mean, I just...
Because that doesn't have suites in the name.
I just looked it up. I just went on to Apple Maps
mm-hmm.
and said Easton Suites, and I got two different hotels that were right next to each other that both have suites in the name.
Yeah.
That are very close to the Hilton, but not the Hilton. The Hilton right. never popped up because it's not a suite.
So what happened to Tyler?
I don't know.
I know. One of the most popular theories is death by misadventure. Tyler wandered into a swampy area, fell into a body of water, drowned, and just hasn't been discovered yet.
So you mentioned that. I'm looking I've looked at the map. I don't see a swamp area.
There are, and there have been pictures and video released of the swampy areas nearby. Like, there are absolute definite swamps nearby. Given the lack of any other actual evidence, this theory does kind of seem likely. But if you look at the map of his movements that police released, it does seem strange. The majority of his route, or any route that he would have taken, was basically sidewalks and parking lots, like you saw.
Right.
Now, he did cut through a wooded area around 3:40 a.m., but he made it out and spent the next 13 minutes walking on sidewalks and through parking lots until the GPS on his phone stopped working. Now, initially, when I was kind of looking at the map, I thought that he may have retraced his steps after that, and something happened in the woods, kind of like he went back through the woods that he had just made it out of. But once I looked at Easton Circle on Google Maps, something happening to him there seems unlikely. It looks like an intense wooded area on the map that the police released. And even if you just look at the overhead, like the Google Earth version, it looks like woods, you know, like dense. But if you go to Street View on Google Maps, it's just trees and it's full of paved walking paths and looks well maintained. It looks very suburban. It looks like someplace that people go and walk on their lunch break, you know, when they're working at one of the nearby businesses. It doesn't look like a place that somebody would just get lost and never be found. For her part, Brittany says that Tyler is not an outdoorsy guy, so she can't imagine that he would have willingly walked anywhere near a swamp or water at all, especially since it would have seemingly been out of his way. Like, again, the swamp was nearby, but it's not on the route that police released, and it's not anywhere he would have had to be.
Where is this swamp in relation to either of these hotels that have suites? Because, I mean, I'm looking at the route between where his last known location was and these hotels, Spring Hill Suites and Hampton Inn Suites, and there's wooded areas in between with no bodies of water and no, I mean, most of it is just sidewalks. So I'm still left with the theory that he wandered onto 270 and got hit by a car.
Well, according to one local journalist, police disagree with you. On Tyler's original Facebook group, a local reporter named Jessica Ralston posted this comment, quote, "Hi, everyone. I'm a reporter in Columbus. I recently asked a detective who was assigned to Tyler's case if it will ever be solved. He said, based on all the evidence, they firmly, in all caps, believe Tyler wandered into the pond and drowned. The pond was searched many times, but it is filled with debris and has almost no visibility, so the odds of recovering Tyler are extremely slim. I have wished for so long that his family will get the closure that they need and deserve, but it seems unlikely." End quote.
Okay, then they need to bring in somebody else to search that pond.
It's not a pond.
We're not talking about the ocean. It is not a giant body of water, and I don't care what debris is in there or visibility issues there are. Look, if you can go to the bottom of the fucking ocean and see the Titanic, you can figure out if there's a body in a goddamn pond. I'm sorry that I'm getting upset, but that is a fucking ridiculous statement to make. As a police detective, that's stupid. You should have never made that statement. You are not a fucking water rescue person. That is completely absurd. And that statement should have been vetted through their PIO. And like,
well, again, this is just a comment that a reporter left on a Facebook group. So, and yes, this is one detective's alleged opinion.
Alleged.
Detectives have obviously been wrong in the past. But the water theory does provide a jumping off point for another popular theory, one that is the main focus of the third Facebook group that I mentioned, that Tyler Davis is a victim of the Smiley Face Killers.
What the fuck is that? That sounds like a fucking movie. The Smiley Face Killers?
Yeah. Okay. So I figured.
Do they wear masks or do they like carve smiley faces in their victims?
Neither. The smiley face murder theory, according to Wikipedia, quote, alleges that 45 young men found dead in bodies of water across several Midwestern American states from the late 1990s to the 2010s did not accidentally drown, as concluded by law enforcement agencies, but were victims of a serial killer or killers. The term smiley face became connected to the alleged murders when it was made public that the police had discovered graffiti depicting a smiley face near locations where they think the killer dumped the bodies in at least a dozen of the cases, end quote. And this is a big, big deal in true crime. And it was a whole thing on TikTok recently, too, a big scandal like that we definitely don't need to get into because this episode's already very long. But yes, this is a theory that has been around for many years that because we haven't really covered a lot of the cases in which young men near bodies of water go missing. We've covered some. Chance Engelbert is kind of one. We've covered more of the young men who whose cars are found empty and then are never seen again. But there are a lot of cases, unsolved missing persons cases, where young men, after a night of drinking, disappear near bodies of water. And there are also cases where young men, after a night of drinking, are found dead in these bodies of water. And like the Wikipedia article said, a lot of these cases, there is graffiti nearby of a smiley face. So people think that they're all connected, that it's serial killers that are abducting drunk men who are walking alone because they're men and they, you know, feel like they can walk alone, unlike, you know, a lot of women. So they're abducting these men, they're killing them, and then dumping them in bodies of water.
None of that makes any sense to me.
Okay. Well, again, I don't want to get into like a whole tangent about the smiley face murder theory.
So have they found any smiley face spray paint, whatever, around bodies of water that he could have potentially drowned in?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Theory debunked.
So yeah, so it's a very controversial theory with many passionate proponents, as well as many who believe that it's reaching, shall we say. Even the FBI released an official statement about this, saying in part, quote, to date, we have not developed any evidence to support links between these tragic deaths or any evidence substantiating the theory that these deaths are the work of a serial killer or killers. The vast majority of these instances appear to be alcohol-related drownings, end quote.
Yeah, which I can totally understand how that relates to this case.
Right.
But again, these are not vast, giant bodies of water.
And he really would have had to work to get to them.
Yes. Right. And even if he did work to get to them and he stumbled into one of them and drowned, I mean, unless you're talking about so much debris from the construction, like, I don't understand how it's like feasibly impossible to search for him and how he'll never be found. These are ponds that were created when construction was happening for runoff.
Yeah.
And then after the construction was done, they then have a body of water that they can put a fountain in the middle and make it look pretty. Like that's what happens with modern construction. They're not like 90 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
They're not filled with a bunch of random
sharks.
Shit. Yes. Or yeah, right. There's not a bunch of sharks in there. This is just a small pond easily searched.
Yeah. I don't know. While there's been no definitive evidence pointing to what happened to Tyler Davis, on December 15th, 2021, nearly 3 years after he was last seen, an Ohio court did officially declare him dead. February 2024 will mark 5 years since Tyler was last seen. Brittany and Sean are trying to get on with their lives outside of the public eye. Police haven't officially ruled anyone or anything out in Tyler Davis's disappearance, and the case remains frustratingly cold. This isn't one of those cases where we can definitively say that someone out there knows something, because I don't know if somebody does.
Right. There's no footage.
Yeah. I mean, there's footage of him leaving the Uber.
Sure.
And walking off. Right.
Right.
And police did release it, and he looks like a drunk guy who's pissed off leaving an Uber and walking off. Like,
sure. Yeah.
That's what he looks like. On his route, he didn't pass by any place that necessarily would have had CCTV. So we truly don't know. You know, we know a lot more than we do in a lot of these cases because of his cell phone data.
Mm-hmm. And also because of the timeline provided by Brittany.
Right. With the receipts, with the ride shares.
Proof of the timeline. Yes.
Yeah. With all of that. Right. And so we know a lot, but in terms of what happened to him after 4:10 a.m., I honestly can't say that there's anybody who is out there who has more information. But if anyone did see anything, if anyone happened to be out early in the morning on February 24th, no matter how insignificant what you saw may seem, please reach out to the Columbus PD. It could be the break that they need. Tyler Davis has been missing from Columbus, Ohio since February 24th, 2019. Tyler is a white man with brown hair and brown eyes. He has a red birthmark on his right arm that extends from his hand to his neck and chest. He was 5'9" and approximately 195 pounds at the time of his disappearance. He was last seen wearing a green and blue flannel shirt, a white t-shirt, blue jeans, and Nike sneakers. Tyler Davis was 29 when he went missing. He would be 34 today. Anyone with information on the disappearance of Tyler Davis is urged to call the Columbus Police Department at 614-645-4545 or the Central Ohio Crime Stoppers at 614-461-TIPS. You can see all the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social. And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by me, Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketsa. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!